Welcome to the Vince Del Monte Podcast Show, where each week we bring you the raw and real experiences, lessons, and timeless principles every man needs to master the 5 M's of manhood. By sharing conversations with the world's most successful people pursuing the 5 M's, you'll build muscle faster, achieve a winner's mindset, increase your money, dominate your mission, and go the distance with your marriage. My name is Vince Del Monte, entrepreneur, author, pro fitness model, and father. And I've helped tens of thousands of men transform their bodies and lives through muscle, entrepreneurship, and personal development. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Healthy Dose. I have a really exciting guest. I've been wanting to get him on here for a while and finally it happened. So I'm real excited and I want to share with you really first off beforehand, before I get started, just the mission of why I'm doing this. Probably maybe heard podcasts, listened to maybe some live streams before. I like to call this more of a faith cast, if you will, but we'll get into that in a minute. But truly just the mission is pretty simple. I've been enjoying connecting with so many people since the lockdown and COVID. And when the world got turned upside down, I just figured, what can I do as another step of just to be an encourager, not just for my coaching clients, but for the people that need it. And there's a lot of people out there that need it, myself included. And as a Christian, a man of faith, just God has been nudging me to say, hey, take another step further, reach out to more people. And how can you do that is to bring other people that have influenced your life on board and share their experience with others. And I truly believe we're all meant to be in community. And while we may be physically distanced, I think this is a time in our world that we all need to have more encouragement, to be more connected to each other than ever before. And that's why I'm excited to start this Healthy Dose show. And while I could say my platform is still young, I'm not quite sure if this will turn into a podcast, but I'm excited to see what happens to it. And I just know that I'm dedicated to helping people to improve their lives, whether it be in helping them lose weight, helping them get in shape, whether it's on a spiritual pursuit. And I'm just excited to just have that opportunity, like the freedom to have this kind of technology that does this, even though face-to-face is awesome. And I'd much rather be meeting and having a conversation with Vince face-to-face, and maybe you as well. But for now, while we have this, let's just make use of what we have. So just a reminder, this show is completely free. I don't intend on ever making this something that's going to be costly to you at all, or it's going to be free. And really, truly, just the value is really all I ask. If you found value in this, is that I just ask for you to share this with somebody else, that you, if you're encouraged, that it becomes an encouragement for somebody else. And if your first time is here, awesome. This is my only fourth episode. We're in it. And I'm excited to introduce today's special guest. So whether your faith is strong or not, let me just ask you this first question. Wouldn't it be awesome if you knew how to live a faith-filled, healthy, and fit life so that you could pursue all that the Lord has set out for his plan for your life and the life of your family? And I'm super pumped and honored to introduce to you today's guest who literally breathe life back into my business and has truly provided me with a renewed sense of purpose and drive that I've never knew I had the capacity for. So Vince, there's a lot of stuff I want to share about him, but I'm just going to give you an overview and I'll let him talk after. Vince Del Monte is an Italian-Canadian fitness entrepreneur known as the only fitness guru to be coined as the skinny guy savior. He earned this name by dedicating his life to transforming the lives of the skinny, scrawny, wimpy guys and skinny girls, helping them become healthier, fitter, and more confident in their bodies. He's also the author of the No-Nonsense Muscle Building Skinny Guy Secrets to Insane Muscle Gain, which has sold more than 80,000 copies in more than 100 in different countries. Vince is also known as the premier go-to online fitness business coach due to his outstanding track record in building a thriving fitness business. Now, he's also the founder of the 7-Figure Mastermind, which I'm currently a proud member of, and the 6-Figure Coach. And now these organizations are designed to help entrepreneurs like me already making 6 figures to scale to a $1 million level, as well as teaching beginner fitness entrepreneurs just starting out how to get to their first $5,000 months in as little as 24 hours. So just real quick, I came into Vince's space about 3 years ago when I almost gave up fitness altogether. And then I jumped into the online world, had no idea what I was doing, and I was about to give it up. And then I found this guy here that we're going to be talking about. And I'm not going to get into it too much right now, but he truly, like I said before, breathed life back into what's now a three-year journey and a year and a half with him. So today I'm very excited and honored to have a special guest. And I'll just say without further ado, welcome Vince Damani.
Yo, yo, Marky, thanks so much, man. That's you and I both have the gift of gab there. We can talk for a while. So the question is, who's going to talk more today? I'm excited to be here, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I want to say something about you before we dive in. Mark's been a pleasure to coach. I took Fast Action the first day. I remember we had our call. You jumped on board. There wasn't hesitation. There were some questions, just logistical things. You took action the very first day. You made almost, and it's not about the money. It's just what I was impressed about was the urgency you took action towards your goals with. And you had almost a five-figure day in the first 24 hours. And then it just continued to go from there. And you've been, I would say, an easier guy to coach because you trust the process. You're patient, but you do ask questions when things aren't working, and you really are invested. I think that's a big thing to say, because some people don't bring those qualities to the table, and they got these mental anchors, which just prevents the strategies and the tactics to appear to you, because there's belief issues and lack of trust issues and impatient issues that just prevent the ability to get the results that could happen. And you're living proof that things can move quickly when you bring those traits of, like I said, patience, action, and just I'm going all in to the table.
Yeah, I think after 25 years, I guess I've been patient enough, been in this industry for 25 years and almost given it up. Yeah. I think I've been weathered. Maybe there's a bit of calluses there, some experience, but I would say I have a really great support system. I have a family that supports me. I have a trust in God that he's on, that he's guiding my steps all along the way. And I think if I didn't have that, I'd probably be in a different position right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think you're definitely playing the long game. You've definitely had some life experiences that have just revealed the necessity for faith and trust and not needing all the answers in order to take the next step. And it's, I think that's something that's, you've done really well. Just you've really owned the next step and you're willing to put the effort into even this podcast. Like, you're on episode 4, but you're doing it right. You're intentionally seeking out people that align with your vision and your values, and you're doing things the right way. I know you're going to look back and a lot of people are going to look at you've already had awesome success, but the greater success that continues to come, and they're going to say, hey, I want to do it the way that guy Mark Avins did it. I like the way he did it. He was very calculated. He's very strategic. He took great action. Teach me what you did with Mark. That's what I want to do.
Build me up, man. I'll tell you, it does help to have the number one fitness business coach on the planet.
Guys like you make my job easy, though.
It helps to have that.
Well, I have the easy job. I just have to tell you what to do.
Yeah, but I know it wasn't easy to begin with. I'd love to maybe in a brief, and I'm sure, I know you've done plenty of these before, just in a brief, for those who don't know you, or who don't know really your backstory, aside from me just sharing briefly, can you share what young Vince was like?
Yeah, it's pretty neat now hearing that you're working with my dad as well. I'm a product of my parents. My parents were C&E Christians before they met, which means they went to church during Christmas and Easter. That was pretty much it. My dad wore a big crucifix, but he didn't really know the significance of the cross. And him and my mom became Christians in university, and they really just committed to God's way of doing life and made it personal, not something they just say or something they do on the weekend, but an entire way they raised me and my brothers. I was a product of them making their faith work in the home. My dad always said at an early age, if it doesn't work inside the home, don't export it. That's why he's always on my case when he's got an inside glimpse of my personal life, maybe too much for being a 40-year-old man. He still texts me when I put my COVID posts up or my mask posts up, and I'll still get a message from him, and he'll write me a novel. He's like, why do you got to put that stuff up there? Like, why do you got to be an electro? What does he call me now? He calls you, why do you got to be an electro pot or whatever? Like, I'm like, Dad, I'm 40 years old. Let me post what I want to post. Why don't I talk about the stupid mask? I'm going to talk about the stupid mask. Just leave me alone. If people don't want, yeah, but why do you got to do that? I'm like, Dad, let me. So that's where I came from.
Yeah.
And long story short, he was a runner. He got my brothers into long distance running. I was a skinny guy all through high school and university. Got a kinesiology degree. Came out working for $10 an hour at a local YMCA. Quickly discovered it wasn't my job. Wasn't my boss's job to make me rich. It was my boss's job to provide me a paycheck. And I love this world of personal training. I didn't look like a personal trainer back when I was 22, though. I still look like skinny Vinny. So I transformed my body without any agenda to come up with a business out of it. I was just a personal trainer, figured it would probably be good to look like a personal trainer. So,
helps.
Right? It helps. So I transformed my physique, started getting a lot of exposure to selling gym memberships and selling personal training at the gyms that I was working at. And that's what I fell in love with. I fell in love with the world of selling. I fell in love with the whole idea of having a conversation with a stranger and being able to help them make a decision that was best for them to achieve their fitness goals. And it involved them making a big transaction where I made a nice commission. I was like, what a freaking cool world. I didn't go to school for this. Nobody in my family did this. The whole world of sales, just like it brought my life. It lit a fire in my heart, to be honest. I'm like, I think I could do something with this. And what the whole world of selling did for me was it gave me an identity. I had this identity because I became the best sales guy at my gym, and my boss propped me up, Murray. He started saying, hey guys, thank Vince this month for all the paychecks you're getting because Vince filled you guys all up. I'm like, Murray, you brought in all the business. I just closed them. Yeah, you closed them.
You were the closer.
I spent a lot of money to get people in the front door, but you did close them. So I'm like, yeah, I'm a closer. I started having this new identity. And that's a big part of my story, always trying to find my identity and trying to find, I knew, you know, I was a good runner, but I wasn't a great runner. I was an okay student, but I wasn't a great student. I was an okay fitness model, but I wasn't a great fitness model. Like everything in life was like, I did pretty good, but I was always striving for the next level. I always just had this, I was always pulled towards not being good, but be great. Unfortunately, that book was already written. I've come up with my own language, which you're familiar with, which is like, I'm always trying to level up or else you level off. And that's like my entire life, even in my relationships, even like when there's fights in the marriage, just, okay, I can level off and just not address this, or I have a chance. So I think I've seen every challenge of my life as an opportunity to level up or else I'm going to level off. And I've watched so many of my friends just level off in all areas of life, in their fitness, in their relationships, with their dreams. And I've heard so many of my friends say, I want to do this one day. I want to do this one day. And 20 years later, they haven't done anything. So I'm like, wow. And I found this identity in being an action taker. And I've really latched onto those just simple things that have really fueled my motivation. I launched my online fitness business back in 2006. And my very first ebook was called No Nonsense Muscle Building. My first year online, I didn't make more than 10 grand, which was less than I paid for my first business coach and for some sunk costs. So I actually made zero money in my first year online. My second year though, I did a little better and I got to the six figure level, and that was more than I was making at the gym I was working at. So I quit my job and I went full time online.
And that's when I met you, I think, when you went online. And I think that was when
2008,
then Fitness Business Info Summit with Bedros and Craig. And I didn't really know you. And I didn't, honestly, after that one time I met you, but here's this guy I'll never forget, and now that I'm connected with you, but I'll never forget where I came up and Bedros introduced you saying, this guy's selling eBooks and you wanted to get to know him. He's never going to curse around you. Just so you know, he'll say, you'll never hear him say a curse word around you. That was what he said. And then he said, this guy's Skinny Vinny. And he talked about what you were just getting into around 2008. It's when I did Fit Body Boot Camp. It's about the same time. Right. So crazy. Small world, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Very small world. Yeah, it's funny because we've had people come into my world, our world, Seven Figure Mastermind, who were at that event, who remember me from that event. I said, what did you first hear about me? Like, oh, it was a fitness business summit. I'm like, whatever he called it back then.
Yeah.
I'm like, no kidding. And again, that's maybe a testament to another one of the identities that I've really embraced, which I'm trying to give all you, is to have a big engine and to play the long game and to go the distance and to chase sustainability, chase longevity. They're non-sexy words, but once you get them, then they become sexy. Selling longevity to somebody who's new to the business is not sexy. It's like selling longevity to a new guy who wants to build muscle. It's not sexy. But once you get 40 and your joints start hurting and you're like, man, I'm not training the same way I did in my 20s, all of a sudden longevity sounds sexy. So I've always tried to preach a message that could last. And I'm like, yeah, there's guys who are beating me right now, who are in the same space, but I'm watching them like work 16 hours a day. They're single and they're getting into their late 30s. And I don't see them ever settling down anytime soon. Cause I'm like, I want the whole picture. I want to be the guy. I remember this Italian buddy back in university. And he was so funny. His name was Adriano. He had long, dark, curly hair down to his shoulders. He looked like a character out of The Sopranos. And I remember just we were talking one night before. We all had our black leather jackets on. We were going to which nightclub was it? Who knows? We're taking this big bus with the Italian-Canadian Festival. The bus actually said Gino's on it. And I said,
y'all, your heads.
I said, Adriano, what do you want from life? He goes, I want it all. The whole nine yards. I want the girl. I want the money. I want it all. And I'm like, I don't know what, if that's where I first heard it, but I'm like, yeah, why can't you have it all? Now, I don't know if Adriano went on to have it all, but I realized like that's a great thing to be known for, the guy that has it all. And this was something my dad always told me too. He said, Vince, make sure that your life is a trade up in all areas of life, not just your bank account. Not just your, and when I was in my fitness game, he used to say, not just your body. I used to always joke around with me when he saw me in the mirror when I was competing. He goes, are you in love with yourself? He'd catch me staring at myself in the mirror. Here is, you're a grown man and you're looking, what are you doing looking at yourself in the mirror? Like, you don't understand. What are you doing? I've never seen a grown man in my life stare at himself in the mirror and take a photo. Like, it was such a, and I was so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, now you get guys to do it all the day, and now it's a business model, and I get it. I do it too. But when I first started doing it back in the day, his message to me was, you can be a trade up, and people are going to look at the full package. They're going to look at your personal life. They're going to look at your business. They're going to look at your bank account. They'll look at your spiritual life. They're going to look at your fitness. And he was really speaking to me and like, if you want to have big impact with your spiritual life, if you want to share your faith in that, have these other pieces together too, because they're going to be, people are going to start to ask questions.
Reminds me when I was looking for an apartment in New York City and I had no money and I was trying to find an apartment, and it said, the realtor told me, whatever you choose, you better, because you have a fixed budget and a limited amount of money, you're going to have to choose what's most important to you. So you can have the place that's nicer, but it's going to be a lot smaller. Or you can choose the place with not the greatest location, but then it may be a 5-story walk-up. You have to give and take. There's always going to be some, unless you had an unlimited budget, like in an unlimited, you know, access, and I didn't at the time. So I remember you're always going to have to give up. So I think that when you share that whole leveling up, level off, I think as we're leveling up, whatever it is, whether it's your spiritual life, your finances, your fitness, something else does have to level off. But it's usually the things that we don't need in our lives. It's usually the things that really don't matter. That's sometimes I've realized, or you're leveling up in one area and you realize that you get to that level and it wasn't all that awesome to begin with. Like, you're on this ladder to get up to a certain level and you're like, that's it. That's all there is. And you realize, dang, I was on the wrong ladder the whole time. I was on the wrong level the whole time. But I want to jump into the question of the hour, right? How can hate make you great? So I'd love to talk about that. And I know there's something, hey, I asked you, what do you want this conversation to be titled? And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that, because I'm curious, actually.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I started my YouTube channel in 2008. And I'm a pretty naive guy. I was raised in a great home with parents who really just loved me. I had a lot of support. My mom always said, you're the best looking guy in high school. And I believed her. Tell one of the hottest girls in high school, Lisa Murata, she didn't want to stay out past midnight with me on prom night. And I'm like, come on. I thought I was the best looking guy in high school. Lisa Murata, we're supposed to go. Hopefully Lisa's not listening. And then I realized I wasn't the best looking guy in high school. Anyways, I became best friends with another guy named Frank, who had his mom told him the same thing. And then anyways,
and my mom told me the same.
So I used to walk her. So I think coming online, just that you have perceptions of yourself. And fortunately, I had a good self, a pretty good perception of myself based on how much my parents poured into me. And when you go out on YouTube, you get destroyed. Man, all of a sudden, I've got people telling me that I'm a charlatan, I'm a snake oil salesman. I had to look up charlatan in the dictionary. I didn't even know what I didn't even really know what a charlatan is. Someone's going to have to read it. I don't even know what is a charlatan. I've been called a charlatan. I've been called a snake oil salesman. I've been called, now I've got like haters. They call me Freddy Cougar, apparently, because I look like Freddy Cougar. I told my mom and she said, what? You don't look like Freddy Cougar. Vince, don't listen to those people. I'm like, it's okay, mom. But the very first thing I want to say about how does hate make you great, number one, is the haters toughen your skin. I am so grateful for my haters because no one really toughened me up growing up. I didn't get in street fights. I didn't live like, I have to thank my haters because I was a little soft. And they've just helped me like grow a thicker skin. And I've learned, and a lot of people say, one of my brothers says, I don't know how you do what you do. If one person said that to me, I would be devastated. I'm like, you get it like all the time. So that's the very first thing. You have to be grateful for these negative people. And I just want to give them a hug and say, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, thank you for toughening me up. Thank you, YouTube. You guys toughened me up. You toughened Vince Del Monte up. He used to be like a bit of a pushover, wouldn't stand up for himself, wouldn't punch back, would kind of maybe attempt to delete the comments because I'm like, hey, bring it on. This is great. You're just like making my skin tougher. Finally, I can handle criticism. Like now I'm getting mentally stronger. So that's the first thing. And you know, I don't know. Sorry.
You
know,
it's interesting, really, because you talked about your foundation, and I think it's probably safe to say because of your strong foundation as a kid and having a supportive family is that you were meant to be hated on, because think of the people that don't have the support they have growing up or in their situation, their circumstances, their relationships, their work environment, and they don't have that support system and they get hated on, then what happens? They become a victim. Then everybody becomes a victim. And that's so easy. We see it so prevalent nowadays in everywhere in life. My dad, it's interesting because you can't even talk about taking a belt off with your kid anymore these days, because there are parents that still do, as I did. And I know it worked for me when I was growing up and I was a kid and I got in trouble. My dad said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I wasn't thinking that at the time. That was one of the things that I came across. And I'll say is that having that support system, though, I guess I turned out okay. But having that support system was one of the things that just with my parents, is that it helped me, I think, through the ups and downs, develop that thick skin, as you're saying.
Yeah. So number two, Mark, is that the haters keep you humble.
Mm. Yeah.
And my definition of humble is not thinking less about yourself, but Humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less about yourself. And I think one of the things I also have to be grateful for is that the haters reveal where you contradict yourself. So when I'm putting out my workout information is really good, but there's one guy, and I don't even care. You could put the freaking video in the link of the show notes just to show people like I'm aware that these videos are out there of me. But in one of my videos, this happened later on, I mixed up two bones in the body. I mixed up the femur and the humerus. So this guy who builds his whole brand on attacking people made a freaking 18 or 21 minute video about how Vince Del Monte's an idiot because he got his anatomy mixed up. Now, what could I have done? I could have taken the video down. I'm like, this is bad press. And the video's got a couple hundred thousand views. Not like a small, there's over 1,000 comments saying Vince Del Monte's an idiot.
Publicity is publicity, right?
Yeah.
Publicity is still publicity.
But you know, in the earlier days, I would have been like, hey man, can you take that video down? Or, okay, I'm going to go up there. I put a comment. I said, hey, I don't remember what I said. This was a couple of years ago. I said something to the extent of, hey, we screwed up. Sorry, we're not perfect. I think I might've had a little too much pre-workout that morning. And I messaged the guy and he was like, how'd you miss it in the edit? And I'm like, we missed it. And because he was a big swear. So I wrote back, I said, we effed up. Yeah. I'm like, what do you freaking want from me? I screwed up. You're going to crucify me because I missed in over 1,000 videos online. I mixed up the body parts and we missed it in the edit. Is that you're a professional? Like you shouldn't have missed it in the edit. I'm like, hey bro, we screwed up. Sorry that our videos aren't perfect like yours. And I just owned it. And it was at the end of the back and forth, I confronted the guy. He says, good chat.
Good chat.
That's what he said. It was fine. It was like, I guess that was his way of, I saw him talking about me on a live and he was talking about how, hey, at least Vince, he said, I respect Vince for like actually not dodging it or avoiding me and actually hitting me up. And I still think he's an idiot, but I guess I earned a bit of respect from him because I reached out and acknowledged.
He's your biggest fan now.
I'm not going to take the video down. Like people aren't stupid. So yeah, the guy made a mistake in the video. So I'm like, it keeps you humble. Like I'm grateful. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, I screwed up. I'm not going to take the video down. If I built this brand around trying to put out perfect videos, I'd have no videos on my channel. This channel would be empty, but I'm learning as you're learning and I'm teaching you the best information I have. And if I screw up, I'll let you know. And I rectified it in the comments and people are like, oh, it's not good enough. You shouldn't have a YouTube channel. You're a disgrace to the industry. I'm like, I'm a disgrace to the industry for mixing up a femur and a humerus when I clearly knew I made that mistake, but I'm okay laughing at myself. I'm like, so I think how does hate make you great? You're going to stay humble, not take yourself so freaking seriously. So there's a real life example.
That's all good, right? Too.
Number three, prove you have a polarizing message. All right. When you attract haters, you will show that you have a polarizing message. I'll talk about another hater, Vegan Gains. A lot of guys know this guy and I don't know where he's at now. I haven't checked his channel up in years, but long story short, like this guy built his channel on creating this Worst of the Fitness Industry series. And he just basically go after big names. He wasn't going after small names. He was going after people with big names. So it got to a point where other channels were like, hey, I finally had this guy make a video about me and they celebrated. So we know it's coming. This is your business model. Your business model is to just put the words, the worst of the fitness industry, and then the guy's name, and people want to hear what you have to say. This video got a lot of views and it was based on one of my thoughts around not working with vegetarians. Just because I had a very strong stance against not being able to build muscle without red meat. And he didn't like it. And I recommended a book that apparently has been debunked. I don't know, not by the sources I read, but apparently this book has been debunked. It showed me was that if you don't have a polarizing message, you're not going to stand out. And if you don't show up different, you don't show up at all. So I realized, how does hate make you great? It helps you. It shows that you're showing up different. And I was okay to create a video. Now, that was a video on a very polarizing stance, which attracted a lot of negative attention. But I did recognize that, okay, interesting. If I keep my content too vanilla, then I'm just not going to attract attention. So I have to have some courage. Like I was challenged to question what I believe. Do I believe this enough to put it out in the public? And this forces you to figure out, what do I believe? Or no, man, I'll say that to a few people, but I'm definitely not putting that out there. Mm. And then, so how does hate make you great? It questions whether you believe what you actually believe.
Yeah.
Because if you believe what you believe, you'll put it out there, even if it's polarizing. And if it's polarizing, it's going to create some controversy. That's point it's number
interesting, three. Right? I think, because in the lines of health and fitness, you think of, everybody's selling something, fitness, weight loss, fat loss, workout stuff. Even back when you were like one of the first people doing that on YouTube, right? It became nowadays, it's all over the place. So what can differentiate people? You share it all the time. People want to know you. They're going to hire you for you. Yes, what you know and to help them, but they're going to resonate with your message because they're going to relate to your message as they may relate it to your message. And I related to you coming in. I wanted a coach who had the similar core values. And you don't know that by somebody that's putting out vanilla content, that's just putting out what everybody else got. I'll just choose the cheapest coach then, or the cheapest business mentor, versus I better make sure, because I had the coach that wasn't lined up and he had some success, but there wasn't lined up. And then I realized that, you know what, I need to find somebody that's core values. Well, how do you find somebody's core values? You find out if they're really true about what they're saying, what they do. And that's kind of how I found you. You and I got on a call and it was, hey, what do I need to do to get started? Because I already found out about you because you were pretty open and transparent about your message online.
You're going to gain the objections that you need to overcome to sell more. So I'll explain this. When I started putting out content, I started to hear what the haters would say. So one thing would be, I'll give you an example. Why in the world would I take advice from a guy who hardly has 16-inch arms? That was a big criticism. If you read just watch any of my arm videos, I guarantee you'll find at least one person who says something about the size of my arms. Who's this douchebag teaching how to build bigger arms? My arms are bigger than his. This guy's a disgrace to the bodybuilding community, thinking he knows what he's talking about building bigger arms. My girlfriend's got bigger arms than him. Now, keep in mind, my arms aren't that small, but that's what was showing up. All right. They're not huge, but they're also not like the smallest arms out there. They're okay. Okay. They're respectable.
Flavia right? likes them. That's the matter.
Exactly. Let me see what your wife looks like. I mean, hey, oh, you don't have one. Go figure. Yeah. Why don't you go get a smoking hot wife and then come back and let me see. Let's compare wives. Yeah, okay. Let's see whose wife's hotter. Yeah. That's what I feel like. You don't say that. You could say that stuff though. Here's a funny thing. You can go down. That's going to be my fifth point. I'll get to that in a second. One second. I actually want to write that down. I'm going to cross out the point. Better. All right. So, you know, this fourth point is that, okay, people think my arms are small and why in the world should I give muscle building advice? I wonder how many other people have the same objection. Can Vince's workout programs really help me if his arms aren't that big? How does hate make you great? I take the stuff, the crap, and hey, let's be honest. My arms aren't that big. So let's own that and let's not defend it. I used to say stuff like, yeah, but I got bad genetics, or I got this elbow problem, which I do. I got surgery and it's hard for me to fully shorten and extend my elbow to maximally contract it. But what I said instead was like, hey, listen, guys, you're right. I don't have the biggest arms in the world and I'm trying to figure it out. Now, what I can tell you is that my arms used to be 14 inches and I've gained 3 inches on my arms naturally. Who would you rather learn from? The guy that came out of his mom and ripped his own umbilical cord out, like Arnold?
Started doing one-arm push-ups?
Yeah. You want to learn from the guy who could do one-arm push-ups at the age of 10? You want to learn from the guy that can naturally do one-arm chin-ups? Or do you want to learn from the guy who has always struggled to defeat his spaghetti noodle arms? You tell me. So I learned how to communicate in a way that addressed the lion, if you will, the conversation going on in their head. And like, that's the first thing they're thinking as soon as they see me. Who's this guy giving muscle building advice? His arms aren't even that big. Now the haters have made me great because I can now overcome those objections. And guess what? I make more money. Hey, I want to thank all my haters listening. You guys have made my bank account very healthy and my future very great. So just keep sending it my way so I can create more material, because when I know what you're thinking, I can now address it. Yeah. But if you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's what you think. Oh, I've got no calves. That's why you haven't bought my program. You don't think, okay, cool. Let me talk about the calf situation. Yeah, my calves suck, guys. The truth is that I'm a slacker on my calves and I never train them. If you want to know the truth, holy crap, did he just say that? He's really honest. I like his honesty. Guys, I'm going to go on a mission and try and build my calves up the reason that my calves aren't big, I have no excuse, guys. I don't train them. I'm a bad example of a coach. I should be training my calves. So I literally took the thing that was holding you back and I used it to build trust. Now, will it work on everybody? No, but it's just me being honest. But I can't have these honest conversations with my audience if I don't know what the haters are thinking. If I can overcome the objections of the haters, I'm going to reach more people. Because if they're thinking it, then there's probably other people thinking it too.
Yeah, it's so true. It makes me think of, there's a guy, I remember when I used to do golf fitness And there was all these levels. This is a while ago. There's all these levels you take. The Titleist Performance Institute, they'd have all the stuff. And I remember the third level, you're going to meet the strength coach. Like, he is one of the top strength coaches, works with the best NFL athletes, baseball players, blah, blah, blah. And I'll never forget, he walked in the room and there's this old guy with glasses, bald head, barely any muscle. His name is Mike Boyle. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before. Now, he wasn't like a bodybuilder, but he happened to work with the Patriots and the Red Sox and all these other like pro athletes. And he has one of the top strength conditioning places in the Northeast and maybe in the country. And I'm like, am I supposed to listen to him? And then he pretty much owned up. Hey, I'm not the strongest guy, but I'm one of the smartest guys. And if I can help this team win a championship and this team win a championship. And it was an eye opener. Now, of course, you got to walk the walk, right? You got to walk the walk and talk the talk type of thing. But I was really blown away at that. And I was like, man, he owned it. He's like, man, I'm an older guy. I got aches and pains. He's like, I've had the opportunity. And he's like, you can look at me, but then you can look at the results I've gotten for other people. That's at the end of the day. But I have to say is really enlightening. One of the things I would love in this Hate Makes You Great is for the person out there, maybe not necessarily looking for the big arms, but maybe the one that's just hating where they're at. Like a lot of viewers that are trying to get on maybe a better health path, health journey, somebody older, like they're in their 40s and stuff. And something that was making me think about the people that I work with is a lot of times they come into it and they hate themselves. They hate the way they look. Yeah. They think, how can anybody look great? I'm already too old. I'm already out of shape. I'm too far gone. I have too much. Why should I even bother? And could you maybe send out something that may resonate, something of inspiration to those that are listening right now is in aside from your story, just for those people who maybe are not in the right spot. And they're maybe being hated on by their friends and their spouses and relationships and stuff, but there is that light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it all comes back to having clarity of your vision and clarity of the path towards that vision. And that's ultimately what my mentors helped me with. Like I remember even when my pre-workout came out and it got criticized by everybody, like, oh, this pre-workout's overpriced, blah, blah, blah. I got really mischaracterized. It actually really peed me off. And I was retaliating with every comment because I have access to the number one science guy in the world who formulates supplements, who helped me formulate it down to every ounce that went into it. So I had responses for everything. I wanted to prove the world, you guys don't know what you're talking about this time. And then it was actually Craig who sent me it wasn't like a private DM, it was a private email. Like he took time out of his schedule to message me, said, hey, stop it, level up, man up and focus on the mission. He said, delete, block and move on. And I think that's my fifth point, by the way, to just level up and focus on your vision and focus on your mission and don't, you know, get caught up in the weeds battling with sheep. Like you have to see yourself as a lion who's going out there to devour and to take over and to lead and to just achieve your goals. For your people who are in that place where they're receiving criticism, you just have to recognize that those people don't have a vision for their life. It's easier to try and pull you down to where they're at than for them to be, for their own self-limiting beliefs to be exposed or challenged, which are keeping them safe and comfortable. So you just have to realize that if it's your goal, if you're not feeling great about yourself, if you want to get back in shape and you've got criticism from the spouse or not the support you really would prefer from your family and maybe even the doctor, who knows? You just have to realize that their fears and their influences don't need to become yours. Yeah. You have a choice. And just you have to realize that you have to run your race and stay on the journey you've been set to go on. So yeah, you just have to realize at the end of the day, I heard one guy talk about haters and I knew he just didn't want to get into it. So he just said this from the front of the stage and I could tell he wanted to say more, but he disciplined himself not to. And he says, what do you want, man? To come with the territory. And then what he's just basically saying is if you're going to try and do something significant with your life, of course there's going to be freaking haters. The definition of haters is having anger towards everyone reaching success. That's the definition of a hater.
That sounds like the Papa Luch right there. Yeah,
I don't know where that one came from, but
say that again. All right, for
having anger towards everyone reaching success. That's what people are like. Oh, I'm not a hater. I'm just trying to protect the industry, and I'm just trying to call out BS where I see it. Dude, that's what a parent reprimanding a 2-year-old does. They tell them what not to do, and no. If you want to actually guide people, inspire people, lead by example and go show people what to do. Don't go put down people that are doing stuff that you don't think is right. Just why don't you start your own channel and tell people what they should be doing instead?
Yeah, it's like I share is saboteurs. They're people that want to just sabotage. They don't necessarily even mean to, but I think a lot of times what happens is, whether it be a relationship, a friend, a family member, is that unfortunately hurt people. That's what happened. So I like to try to reframe when somebody, if maybe they're hating on something, or if I'm sharing my faith open about it, and somebody's, oh, I don't want to hear any of that religion stuff, or don't preach that Jesus freak kind of stuff to me or whatever. And I was like, I can get mad at it because I'm strong in my faith. And I was like, you don't mess with my Jesus type of thing. But also, But the other thing is realize that I learned because I went through it, is the whole hate make you great, is I went through where I had hurt people hurting me. Like I was hurt before. Like, or maybe people were calling you names, is that it's easy to get combative and want to protect. And that's obvious. That's our nature. But then also realizing that there's people out there that just hurt. And it's almost, it's the almost best thing you could do is to just leave.
Yeah. It's so true, Mark. Yeah. It's a good place for us to really probably like wind up on. Cause I don't think we can go higher than that note there because no, it's a great point because when you understand like who the hate's coming from and where it's coming from, you can now actually just sympathize. I'm like, hey man, if there's anything I can do to help out or to, it's just, they're hurting, man. Like I don't go out and hurt people. And I just, the idea of having a YouTube channel and a playlist, like to criticize somebody else, like my wife would kick my ass. She's like, what are you doing down there creating content about other people? Go help people, go serve people, show up with positivity, light, and hope. Not this hater crap. So if someone, I can't explain where that comes from. And because I can't relate to being hurt at the level where I'd want to hurt other people. I can definitely relate to wanting to retaliate though. And I've gone back and forth over the years thinking, I went through a phase where I deleted the comments. I went through a phase where I didn't delete the comments. I went through a phase where I ignored the negative comments. I went through a phase where I responded to the negative comments. And I just realized you can't win because they're hurt. Like the root problem is that they're hurt. And the only way you could, if you truly did want to try and mend the situation, you have to go to the source and try and figure out what's wrong with, you know, is there anything I could do? And that's what I did with this one individual. I messaged him privately. I sent him some voice notes on the DM. I'm like, hey, I saw the video you just put up of me. I hope you guys have a good laugh over it. I went to him. I'm like, I want to build, I didn't make a separate video for him to watch with the rest of the world. Same thing with one of my biggest haters, who attacked me for years. I saw him at the Arnold Classic and I went up to him and I tapped him on the shoulder. He spun around. He almost tripped. He thought I was going to knock him out. I'm like, like I said, Ian, I just came by to say hi. And we ended up talking for 2 hours and we took a photo together and he posted on his Instagram account, sorry, his Facebook account. And he said, Vince Del Monte's not a bad guy. I have this maybe desire where I want to be liked. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I do value relationships. I do care what people think. And I'm like, you don't like me for a certain reason. And I don't like the reason you don't like me because I know it's hurting you as a person. And that's maybe why I want to mend the relationship. I don't know if that's a pride thing or ego thing on my side, but I'm like, I know why you don't like me. I'm bold. I say things that are like, I don't self fact check myself every sentence I put out there, but like, I see why you don't like me and I want to try and like mend the relationship so I can maybe have some form of positive impact on them. That's just how I'm wired. And I'm like, the only way they might listen to me is if I like come to them and get vulnerable first, where I told the guy, I said, dude, we effed up. I said, I missed it in the edit. He's like, how'd you miss it in the edit? I'm like, effed up, man. And yeah. I think he might have respected that. He's like, okay, fair enough. You messed up. I don't buy it. You're an idiot still. But he's like, at least he admitted he was wrong. I'm like, I'm trying to come your way, but dude, come my way a little bit. Come on. You're going to hate on me. I'm not like, you've never screwed up. So I just try and hold the mirror to them and where they might say, and that was a win for me at the end of the conversation when he said, good chat. I'm like, that was like the highlight of my day when he typed back good chat. Cause I'm like, hey, we made a bit of headway. And for me, I don't know. Maybe.
No, what I think, and I know, because I know you've invested a lot in coaching and mentorship. And one of the things that's helped you along the way with this, and I say that is because you mentioned about Craig sending you a message and helping guide you, keep the guardrails up, still being your guy, still having your ability to be, whether you call it polarizing or having an opinion or doing this or even messing up, effing up, whatever, and even having the haters out there. One of the things, aside from making it great, is to know who you are, right? Know who you are, but then also be able to have somebody like I've invested in you, is to have somebody help provide some guardrails up in your life so that when you are face-to-face with the haters, is that when you're able to work through them. And I know you've gone through a lot of this stuff and you've gone through years of being on YouTube and all that stuff, but people will come after you. And what's amazing to think of that, A, you've not just gotten through it, but you've been able to thrive through it. Like you said, thank you for the haters. You've helped me make more money, right? You've helped me become more successful. You've developed some thick skin, but at the same time, helping to process that, which I think is awesome. And part of having you on here is the value of having people in your life from an early age, when you have your family and your kid, your parents to provide that structure. And then maybe in through school and then through coaching. I know you've had mentors and coaches and stuff for a long time to just help you. Part of the reason why I've invested in you, I know you've invested in other people just so that you can help process it, because it's hard to do. You get haters. At the end of the day, we're all human. We're going to take it regardless, but to have people that you can lean on and say, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, like you said, Craig just said, hey man, just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So listen, this is awesome. Thank you so much. I love the haters. Was it having anger towards everyone reaching success? Go.
Yeah.
So good. So good. And let me just finish with closing this out. Where can people learn more about you? You're on a lot of different platforms, but to connect with you, whether it be on a business level, on a fitness level, and tap into kind of more of what you're doing.
Yeah. The best place, Mark, is at Vince Del Monte on Instagram.
Vince Damani on Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, they'll see my blue verified account, or they can check me out on iTunes, the Vince Del Monte podcast show, and those are the two places I'm the most active.
Yeah, definitely the podcast. I've watched all of them, but I watch a lot of them. They're so good. So instead of watching some garbage on TV, go check out one of Vince's podcasts. Obviously, you can reach out to me too if you want to get in touch with them. Any fitness business guys out there doing online coaching, reach out to me. I can tell you all about my experience with him. Now, listen, this is the end. I just wanted to say thank you, but also it's time to bless somebody else. If you found value in this conversation that we just had, there's no cost to do this. We just ask that you share it with more people. Maybe there's people out there that have had hate. They have a lot of haters, and realize that you don't have to stay at the hate. You can allow the hate to turn into great. And that's what Vince just shared with us today. So with that, thanks again, all of you, for listening. Thank you so much, Vince, for joining me on this podcast, Faithcast Live, Facebook broadcast, whatever you want to call it. And I just want to wish everybody an awesome and a blessed day. Take care, everyone.